Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
Stu does America.
YouTube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Be sure to hit the bell for notifications when you're there and subscribe to the show. We'd appreciate it. Get your StuDoes merch right there at StuDoesMerch.com. Use the code STU10. You get 10% off your entire order. We're going to have Dave Landau here. There's a lot to talk about, including this crazy Gene Hackman situation from yesterday. It's just awful. There may be some really, speaking of awful, by the way, Andrew Cuomo is back in the news. We're going to sell so many t-shirts and mugs. AndrewCuomoIsAwful.com. I can't wait for the Andrew Cuomo cash to just be pouring in, because he's going to totally become mayor of New York City and probably president in 2028. That's seemingly what's going to happen. Hopefully not, though. We're going to start, though, by doing the grand unified theory of President Donald Trump. It's like, how do I get through the next few years until 2028, when hopefully someone like J.D. Vance or Ron DeSantis becomes president of the United States? But could be some Democrat as well. And it's going to be a few years of there's a lot of action. It's an action movie with Donald Trump, right? This is not Bridgerton. There's some actual action going on in this particular thing. So let me give you kind of an outline of this, because I've explained this a couple times. People have asked, go a little deeper, give some examples of this. So let me do that today. The grand unified theory of President Donald Trump. Okay, a couple of things that we're going to do. This is the way we cover this, and I think it's the right way to cover anything that Donald Trump is involved in, because I think we get lost in the fact that we see somebody talking on TV and we're like, oh, they must be talking to us. Not always. That's not always the way this works. So it's not about what Donald Trump says is the first key. And what does that mean exactly? Well, Donald Trump is a born negotiator, and a lot of his commentary is driven through by his intended audience, which is often not you or me or the average voter. When he's saying a lot of these things, he's not saying them to us. He's saying them in front of cameras. We can hear them. We all can react to them. But he's not negotiating with us. He's negotiating with somebody else. He's doing these things for a reason somewhere down the line. Let me give you an example of this. Trump falsely calls Zelensky a dictator after Ukraine's leader accuses him of living in a disinformation space. Now, the dictator thing is based on the fact that they were supposed to have an election, was it last year or the year before? They didn't have it in the middle of the war, and they pushed it off down the line. Still not happened. Basically, one of the demands of the Russians is, hey, they need to have elections over there. They're thinking they can probably influence those elections and get somebody they like in charge of Ukraine. But the bottom line is, he's saying he's a dictator because they haven't had elections. Now, it's a little more complicated than that. Largely, the Ukrainian constitution has a clause in there that basically says if you're in martial law, elections are barred. And you can kind of understand why you would do that, because if you are under martial law, probably whoever's at the head of the government can influence those elections pretty easily. That's a problem. Now, you could say he should remove martial law and have elections, which is defensible. You could also say, we wouldn't do that here in the United States. They should do it. And I agree with you. All countries should be like the United States. I think we're the best one. But we are somewhat unique in the world. And the fact that we did it is not necessarily enough for other countries to go along with it. Should they have elections? In my view, yes. Does that make him a dictator? I mean, not necessarily. He also does not have a 4% approval rating, as Donald Trump said. It's around 50. It's not great. It was a lot higher a couple of years ago. But when this war was first kicking out, he was in the 80s and 90s at one point. He is not anymore. It has fallen off quite a bit. Now, another one. Trump says Ukraine started the war that's killing its citizens. What are the facts? Well, look, the facts are that both sides have stuff to complain about. Okay, you can go back and look at. Vladimir Putin has signed multiple agreements that guaranteed Ukraine's sovereignty. So the fact that they're at war and he's trying to take over the country, probably not consistent with those agreements. On the other hand, the West in the past has basically guaranteed that Ukraine would not go into NATO. And then they kept walking down that line. And I think it made the Russians nervous. That's a problem, too. At the end of the day, though, we were in a state of stasis, where one country was on one side of a border and one country was on the other side of the border, and they were kind of growling at each other here and there. But generally speaking, we weren't seeing the sort of effort that we saw until Vladimir Putin sent a bunch of tanks across the border. That's what happened. You might not like it. You might not like, you might not like Zelensky, which is fine. That being said, Russia did start this part of the war, for sure. Donald Trump then came out on Truth Social, said this. Think of it, a modestly successful comedian, Vladimir Zelensky. I don't even know, was he? I guess he was kind of successful. Talked the United States of America into spending $350 billion to go into a war that couldn't be won, that never had to start, but a war that he, without the U.S. and Trump, will never be able to settle. That part is absolutely true, though the estimates are not $350 billion, more in the $100 billion range, but plenty. Plenty. We've given a lot. Why didn't sleepy Joe Biden demand equalization in that this war was far more important to Europe than it is to us? We have a big, beautiful ocean of separation. On top of this, Zelensky admits that half the money we sent him is missing. He refuses to have elections, very low in the Ukrainian polls. And the only thing he was good at was playing Biden like a fiddle. Well, he was good at that. The dictator, a dictator without elections, Zelensky better move fast or he's not going to have a country left. In the meantime, we are successfully negotiating an end to the war with Russia, something that all admit only Trump and the Trump administration can do. Biden never tried. Europe has failed to bring in peace, and Zelensky probably wants to keep the gravy train going. I love Ukraine, but Zelensky has done a terrible job, and his country is shattered, and millions have unnecessarily died, and so it continues. Now, millions might be a little high, but certainly a lot of truth in there. Some Donald Trump flair on top of it. And when you see the personal jabs come out, you know one thing about it, the situation, which is Donald Trump's pissed at somebody, right? Donald Trump, I mean, think of the people, his best friends right now, he may have been pissed at 6 months ago and he was calling them terrible names and now they're his best friends. That is just the way Donald Trump operates. When you're not doing what he wants, he gets pissed off and he starts calling you names. And when you're doing what he wants, he's very nice to you. I mean, he's very congenial. People rave about what he's like in at a dinner party. He's very, very engaging and very, very kind to people. And the issue here, though, is that he's looking at the situation and he's saying, well, I see where everyone else is, but like Ukraine is in this position where they believe that they have unlimited support for as long as it takes. That is what Biden promised, almost exactly. And you can't undo what Biden promised. You can't go back and reverse it because Joe Biden was president of the United States, and those agreements that were that we came to then should be honored. That being said, there's no way to make an agreement that as long as it takes is not a real thing. That's not a term. That's not the way the United States or anybody else operates. When Donald Trump wins the election, it is his opportunity, his job to craft what he believes is the best policy. It's no longer Joe Biden's argument. So he goes in there and says, I see what everyone thinks. They all think they're going to get this support forever. We need to shake them out of that. We need to break that calcification. We need to be able to say, hey, this is no longer happening. How do we do that? Well, we could go to them in private and say, well, you know, we just think we're going to lower our support levels pretty soon. So you maybe want to be open to a change in your negotiating tactics. He could do that. And I think most presidents would have gone that way. He doesn't work that way. That's not who Donald Trump is. He went out there and said, we need to absolutely give them a reality check. This is not going on. So I'm not going to argue the position I want. I'm going to argue a position far past the position that I want. Because if they believe he might just go with Russia, they're going to be a lot more likely to come to the table and negotiate these things. Okay? That's the way Donald Trump thinks. So when you follow every flare of what he says, you're missing the big picture. So what we're going to do here, and what I think the right approach is in the grand unifying theory of Donald Trump, is it's not about what Donald Trump says, it's about what Donald Trump does. Donald Trump is pursuing an incredibly aggressive agenda. To understand it, we need to focus on policy and action, not his words. Now, that might be unfair. You might not like that. Whatever. I'm trying to actually understand the world as it is. Okay? This is the pragmatic reality of the situation. Trump does this. He says all these things about Zelensky. He says all these things about Ukraine. He is negotiating with Ukraine, as well as Russia. But he's negotiating with Ukraine. He's trying to move that Overton window to an area that he believes is going to be much more beneficial and actually get this war over with, which, by the way, is his top priority. And in a way, in a very significant way, should be his top priority, because the top priority, the America First position of Donald Trump, is to make sure this war does not spiral into a giant war between us and Russia. That's what we don't want. I really think if I was a Ukrainian, a citizen, I'd be like, what the hell? I want to take Crimea back. I'm sure I would be, but I'm not. What my interest is the American interest. And the American interest, there is some interest in making sure Russia doesn't think it can roll over every country next to it. I'm not without any attachment to that idea. But at the end of the day, this is in a place where we are at a stalemate. And if you can find a way out of it with rational sort of agreements, that's something very, very interesting to the United States. Now, he also was talking about all the minerals, and he was saying, we want $500 billion in minerals. And it's like, well, $500 billion in minerals, is that fair? Everyone went and chased that story, and they said, oh my gosh, that's five times or four times as much as we've given them. How can we be asking for that? That's absurd. It's crazy. But Trump is forcing Ukraine to look at options they don't want to look at. That's what he's doing. He's pushing them in a direction to look at stuff that they don't even want to consider because they are in the middle of this and they want to keep getting their weapons and keep fighting for every inch of Crimea. And I get that. Again, if I were a talk show host there, that's probably what I'd be saying. We need to do it with U.S. or without him. But that being said, if you're going to shake him out of that mold, out of that, you know, that sort of prison, that happens to people all the time. In every negotiation, you have to be able to shake it up. So, a lot of people make fun of Trump and they say, oh, is he playing four-dimensional chess? I mean, in some ways here, he kind of is, right? And here's the results of that. What does Trump do? We've already went over what he says. What does he do? Well, U.S. and Ukraine have now agreed to terms of a critical minerals deal. A source familiar with the contents of the draft agreement said that it does not specify any U.S. security guarantees or continued flow of weapons, but says that the United States wants Ukraine to be free, sovereign, and secure. This is not what Russia wants. One of the sources familiar with the deal said future weapons shipments are being discussed between Washington and Kyiv. Trump told reporters that Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky wants to come to Washington on Friday to sign a very big deal. This came after the two leaders exchanged hostile words last week. So they were all at odds. He was calling him a dictator. He was saying he started the war. I want $500 billion in minerals. Everything that we know about this deal indicates it's much, much less than that. So that claim, that ask wasn't really real. They came to a place where we're going to get some of our money back. I don't know how much. There probably will be some security guarantees, some encouragement, some other stipulations. But at the end of the day, he got them to a place that he felt comfortable with. And by the way, Trump also said that he got Russia to a place where they would accept European peacekeeping troops inside of Ukraine. Now, right now, the Kremlin is sort of denying that. Trump said it publicly. He said he talked to Putin about it. Could be lying, I suppose. My guess is it's the Kremlin that's lying. And they don't want to admit that chip because they don't want to give it up. But Trump kind of made them give it up by saying it publicly. He's trying to get to a place where, look, we don't like that the borders changed here. But if they change, let's keep them right where they are. No more after this. Is that going to work? It might not. And that's how you can judge him, on the results of it, not necessarily on some statement that you heard him say on Truth Social. OK, the third part of this grand unifying theory of President Donald Trump is we want to debunk and disregard the media spin, because if the mainstream media is talking about Donald Trump, then the mainstream media is lying about Donald Trump. So we're going to disregard and debunk, because it is important to give you the truth about these situations. It's just you got to look at them through the right prism. A good example of this is this video from the other day that Donald Trump posted on social media. Here it is. It's Gaza. It looks like a total wreck. It's 2025. It's a disaster. What's next? Whoa, wait a minute. Now it's been transformed into a wonderful beachside resort. It's incredible. It looks amazing. Elon Musk has six fingers and he's eating bread and there's dancers all around and looking great, except that the fact that they oddly have beards and there's money falling from the sky. And then there's Trump Gaza Hotel and a giant golden idol of Donald Trump. By the way, not necessarily my favorite thing to make idols of yourself, but that's a whole different story. There's no reason to believe, by the way, that Trump made this video, but he did, of course, promote it. So what does the media do with that story? Well, of course, they freak out. They lose their mind. Even after that video came out, the New York Times wrote a whole story about it. The video was immediately scorned by many Palestinians, such as much as Arab nations rejected Mr. Trump's plan when he announced it earlier this month. Some signs of AI-generated imagery are more subtle than others. One scene shows a man who resembles Elon Musk, a close advisor to the president, eating bread with six fingers on one hand. Other scenes show belly dancers with beards and green headscarves on a beach, Mr. Trump dancing with a woman at a nightclub, and Mr. Trump and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel sitting shirtless at a pool with drinks. By the way, if you're going to make AI videos of yourself, you should trim yourself down by at least 30 pounds. Trump did not look great in that video. And I think that's, if you're going to use AI, you might as well look better, right? The militant group Hamas, which has tried to demonstrate its continued control of Gaza over the course of a ceasefire with Israel in recent weeks, rejected the vision presented in the video on Wednesday. They pissed off Hamas, guys. They angered Hamas, and we should really care about that. The media chased that story all over the place. Ugh. He shares this video of Trump Gaza. Yeah, okay, we know that. But what is he doing with that? Trump is, again, trying to shake even the people of Hamas out of their calcified positions. Guess what? This isn't a debate about whether you get a two-state solution or not. You know what the debate is? Whether we come in there and just pave the thing and put up hotels with belly dancers with beards. That's the debate now. So change your mind, because you better give us these hostages back or we're going to do this. Not, I don't know, we might make you wait another 6 months for a two-state solution. He's giving them the truth that he's going to come in there and do something drastic. Is it really going to be Trump Gaza? I would guess not, because Donald Trump, I've been to his hotels. They're very nice. Am I going to Trump Gaza? No, I don't want anything to do with that piece of land, frankly. Now, look, the truth is Trump is unique. No one's ever operated like this, so I can understand why it stands out to people. And you might say, well, that's a double standard, because if Barack Obama said half of those things, you'd be criticizing him. And the truth of that is, you're right. I would be. In fact, I'd also be critical of George W. Bush for saying those things, or I'd be critical for any other president, basically other than Donald Trump. And you might say that's a double standard. And again, you'd be right. I think Donald Trump is unique enough to have a double standard, at least for our own sanity purposes. Because if you sit here and freak out about everything the guy says, you're never going to be able to live a life. You're never going to be able to get through a day in your life if you're freaking out about everything that Donald Trump puts up on social media. That's no life for anyone, okay? You need to be able to understand these things in perspective, which is why I think about these things this way. And the media is going to occupy themselves chasing every one of these stories and writing stories about a video he tweets on Truth Social. I mean, can you imagine? Why would you do such a thing? It's repetitive. It's boring at this point. Figure it out. Be a little more aware of the situation. The guy's already been president of the United States. You just went through this for 4 years. You should be able to understand what he's doing here. Trump has a thought in his head, which is often true, that nobody's going to move unless he moves them. And that's what he does with all of these things that a lot of times statement-wise you don't agree with. They might not be true. They might be too aggressive. They might be angry. They might be mean. But that's what he's trying to do. And you need to judge him on the results of those actions. I mean, they don't always work. I gave you a couple of examples of it working. Let me give you one of that I would argue so far has not worked, which is Canada 51st state. That whole thing, the trade war with Canada. What we have there, and let me give you some statistical proof of this. This is a chart of the election possibilities for Canada. Trudeau was about to lose this. He was getting crushed in this election, and it looked like conservative leadership was coming to Canada. Since Donald Trump came out with the 51st state stuff and the tariffs, the exact opposite has happened. Trudeau's party has rocketed in the polls and now leads. They were down by 20 points a couple of weeks ago. And now it looks like Trudeau might be back in power again. That's not a great outcome. It doesn't always work, and he should be judged on whether it works or whether it doesn't, not on every freaking truth. So just if you want to be sane in the Trump era, you want to celebrate the winning, but you want to understand where the winning's coming from and how we're getting there. And when things go wrong and your friends start freaking out, you can calm them down. Understand it this way. Don't react to everything Donald Trump says. Look at what Donald Trump does and then debunk and disregard the mainstream media. Well, Trump is talking about tariffs again. He's got a 10% additional tariff coming on Chinese imports. This is effective March 4th, which is what, only a week away or so. A lot of Americans are looking around and saying, oh, gosh, now they're going to come back with their response. We're going back and forth on tariffs. This could be a situation where prices go up. And more than that, our supply chain has issues. The availability and cost of essential goods could be affected here. The move aimed at addressing national security concerns could disrupt supply chains and could lead to some of those increased prices, especially when the retaliation go on. We know this is part of the game, unfortunately, when you're dealing with increased taxes on goods. In times of such uncertainty, though, it is crucial to take control of your own health and safety, because if we get in a trade war with China, they cut off our medications. That could be a real problem. That's where the Jace case from Jace Medical comes in. You get personalized an emergency kit that's equipped for you with five life-saving antibiotics designed to treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. Having these medicines on hand, you know, in case, is really, really important, because even if access to medical care becomes limited due to supply chain disruptions, you can still survive, have the medicines you need. What sets the Jace case apart is its commitment to providing you with the tools necessary to manage your health in unpredictable situations. Plus, they offer ivermectin as an optional add-on for those interested as well. So don't wait for the next crisis to catch you off guard. Visit Jace.com today to enter their giveaway or purchase your own Jace case for a special discount. Use the promo code STU at checkout. The promo code is STU at Jace.com, J-A-S-E.com. The promo code is STU.
Kaffee in seiner besten Form. Mit Cubo wird jeder Kaffee auf Knopfdruck zum Genussmoment. Denn mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo genießt du feinsten Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Vollmundige Aromen dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie und über 17 Sorten Kaffee für jeden Geschmack. Erlebe Premium-Kaffee schon ab 29 Euro. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
I'm joined now by Dave Landau, comedian and host of Normal World, right here on Blaze TV. You can catch his stand-up, by the way, tonight at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Really cool. And he's back in Dallas at Hyenas for shows April 4th and April 5th as well. Get your tickets at DaveLandau.com. Dave, thanks for coming on the show, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for having me, sir.
Yeah, I will say, thinking of the life of Dave Landau for just a moment here, there's been some twists and turns, I think we can agree. What's the difference between back in the day being Dave Landau in Las Vegas and today?
Well, I'll remember this trip.
Okay, that's a good start.
I think that's the best way I could put it. Mm-hmm. When I first came to Vegas like 20 years ago, when I had just turned 21, yeah, I didn't remember. I remember the food was very expensive, even though at the time it really wasn't. It was before like Steve Wynn charged for everything and everybody followed suit. Mm. So even like the $1 all-you-can-eat prime rib was a little expensive because I was drinking so much. But yeah, now being sober, Vegas is a whole new experience.
Yeah.
I was thinking yesterday too, like, James Bond movies where everybody's in a tuxedo and gambling. Never have I seen that in Las Vegas.
No, that does not exist at all. I will say I went to a few years ago. I was in France and I went to the Monaco, or as they call it there, Monaco. Went to the famous casino there. Like one of the Bond movies was there. And you know, like I expected to go in and see a Bond movie. It was not like that at all. There was like four people at every table, and it looked like slightly better dressed version of like the degenerate gamblers I see in Atlantic City.
Oh yeah, it's exactly what's here. Well, there's like guys with no legs and an oxygen mask, and I'm like, do you feel lucky? Like, is today your big day that you're gonna win it all back? And then everybody else is just in a mullet and like a big Johnson shirt.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really it's very classy.
My understanding,
Vegas,
if you hit the jackpot, one of the legs does grow back. So that's at least positive.
Yeah, yes, there is a stem cell wheel that you can play. It's pretty interesting.
Let me get to some actual news here, Dave. We've got probably the big story of the day, the Epstein files. At some level, have been released. You know, Jeffrey Epstein, of course, he did some bad things. I don't know if people are aware of this. Not a good guy. Not the philanthropist, as we've maybe seen in certain clips. They released this to, I guess, a bunch of influencers, including our own Liz Wheeler seems to have gotten a copy of the Epstein files. I asked this question broadly to people today. Like 0 to 10 scale. 0 is we look at it and it's basically like Al Capone's vault. There's nothing going on there whatsoever. You know, 10 is, you know, a bunch of indictments on really famous people, earth shaking revelations. What do you expect out of this?
I expect a lot of people to come out, but it's going to be under the guise of they rented a plane. They didn't have anything to do with it. That trip wasn't really about that. I mean, I don't know if there's any real proof because, you know, they murdered it in a cell. I mean, he hung himself. But I think we're going to see a lot of names. I'm just rooting for actors that I like not to be on it. Like, obviously, Tom Hanks has been that name that always goes around. And I enjoyed everything he made throughout my childhood. So I'm just hoping that ends up being not true.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to find a lot of names on it. I mean, I think we already know we have Chris Tucker. We have these other people. But the girls on the island have said that Chris Tucker wasn't abusing them. But there were people like the Clinton. I'm sure Bill Clinton was just taking a vacation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he loves the beach, you know, he's got a beach body and he wants to show it off.
Why go out for burgers when you have steak at home, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's a horrible commentary on our beef industry. Not going to be
a lot of red dye.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's
very
big old Hillary Cankles.
Oh, God. It's an awful thought in every single way. I do think there is an issue like almost I'm a little concerned. First of all, I'm concerned that like some band that I like and have a T-shirt of is going to come up, show up on the list. And I'm going to have to get rid of the T-shirt. Right. You can't like if you had a Bill Cosby in concert T-shirt, you kind of had to get rid of that. And I hope that doesn't happen with these files because
I kept most of my Cosby sweaters, but I just look good in them.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you're basically in only that way, Dave, the new Bill Cosby. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, I do wonder if after watching the Me Too era play out in front of our eyes, whether we're going to get people who are on this list who probably didn't do anything. I mean, we do have, you know, Jeffrey Epstein. His whole shtick outside of, you know, hooking up with 14-year-olds was getting close to powerful people, using a lot of money, a lot of influence. I mean, he was in contact with so many people who were at the time were admitting they were in contact with him. I mean, even Donald Trump would be on that list, right, if you wanted to go that deep. Now, there's no accusation that Trump did anything like this, but, like, I feel like it might swallow up some people who are completely innocent here.
I think it will. I think people have used that one photo of him and Trump against Trump, which is very bizarre. You know, it looks like it's in the 80s because Trump has that like Gordon Gekko Wall Street slick back hair at the time.
Yeah.
And I don't think he was using anything except maybe renting a plane or just associating with these other billionaires. And the sad part is, I mean, we're learning how bad trafficking actually is. I mean, we're learning how many people have abused kids. We're learning about, I mean, look at Nickelodeon and all that stuff. Like everything that's come out involving a lot of stuff in Hollywood is very disturbing. So I do think that we are going to find out a lot of names. I'm just wondering if we're going to get the evidence that actually supports if anybody did something besides rent a plane or get invited to an island, because there will be collateral damage.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to be you know, Kool-Aid after Jonestown. We're like, wait a minute, we didn't really have anything to do with this. It wasn't even Kool-Aid, it was Flavor-Aid, by the way.
Flavor-Aid, yeah.
Kool-Aid gets the flack on that. But like, even Flavor-Aid, it's like, we just made a delicious beverage. You guys poisoned it. That we had nothing to do with that. I feel like some of that might happen here.
Yeah, the Kool-Aid man didn't say drink it or we're going to start shooting.
Right. So it's not at all. I mean, yeah, the Kool-Aid man is too nice. He didn't murder any congressman. That's not what happened there. So no, I don't know if people are going to be aware of that.
He'll rip your house apart while your parents are away to pour you a delicious beverage from his head. But he's not somebody who wants you dead. Exactly. He just wants to quench your thirst.
And again, this would be a very difficult thing to explain to mom and dad when they come home and there's just a big hole in the wall. And you're like, actually, it was an animated Kool-Aid pitcher came in and he said, oh, yeah. And I'm not thirsty anymore, but we do have a ventilation problem.
Yeah, you're like, how does glass break brick, son? Am I supposed to believe that? A giant glass busted through our brick wall?
It's a great point. It's not believable. It really isn't believable. I'm starting to become a skeptic on that one.
Yeah, I believe you might not even be real, but that's just my own opinion, and I'll have to do a deep dive on it and get back to you.
That's another
what
thing.
What if he's Cash on Patel. The Epstein list?
Yeah, maybe he is. I was going to say Cash Patel could release some background on whether the Kool-Aid Man is real. Maybe we get some actual information out of this. Do you have anyone bubbling in the back of your mind, Dave, if you could... Like, if let's just say you just made your way into the White House last night and you're just going to scribble a name down, an extra name on the list, someone you want to guarantee is on the Epstein list, in the worst section of this list. Is there someone you'd want to take out and be like, I'm just going to slide them in there?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I can legally say it on the show, but there's definitely people I would add to the list. I don't even know if they'd be famous. They'd just be people that have annoyed me over the years. And there's definitely people I would add. I guess I could put in, even though he's probably already on the list, Ashton Kutcher.
Oh,
we could just toss him on there. We don't need him.
No. Right. Exactly. This is a good way to just get rid of people that we just find annoying. I think that's a good way to use this. I mean, look, the damage sadly has already been done. The people who did it should pay for it. But if we can get extra benefit out of this and just throw some extra people we don't like on the list, I think that's a positive outcome here. Like, for example, Dave, if I had the chance, I think I might put Gavin Newsom on there. I think it's...
Oh, I would.
I've never heard an accusation that he had anything to do with anything like this. He's certainly been hooking up with lots of people for many years, including his best friend's wife. But, like, I don't know. I think that would be entertaining to see him try to explain that on his new podcast.
Well, he's not good at putting out fires, so I definitely would like to see him have to backpedal as to why he's on that list. I bet he, but the problem is he might be on that list. He's such a scumbag. Like, he just comes across like such a sociopath.
Yeah.
That I can't imagine that he's not. But the one I do want to find out, though, is Stephen Hawking, because they already came out with his name saying that he was on the list. And that one, I mean, really? Like, that he had a body that looked like it was a spider crushed by a newspaper. And then he had that like dog mouth, like a shih tzu that got hit with a car.
Yeah.
So he just had, like, if that guy was going there for sex, people are like, can you believe he went there? I'm like, I think he was brought.
Yeah, I don't think he made it there on his own. I don't think anyone was accusing. No. That's the one part of the accusation we know would be false, right? Like, he drove up. I think he flew the plane, too. No, we knew that.
Yeah.
We knew that one would be false. I will say, though, the accusations are he was a bit of a hound, right? Like, I mean, Hawking, like, he had an appetite.
He did. He liked that. He definitely enjoyed being a philanderer. And he had the guy from Police Academy doing his voice from another room, pretending his eyes were talking.
Which, you know, how can you blame him? How can you blame him? By the way, Joe, this Gavin Newsom is an actual podcast. Have you seen the, this is the actual, God. I mean, could he be douchier? I don't think there's a possibility of it. It's called This Is Gavin Newsom, as if we were all just on the edge of our seats trying to find him. And he made this big pitch about how he's going to be talking to people that he doesn't just disagree with, some people he really looks up to, and you, the audience, which he's delineating he does not look up to you. He wants you to know that you're a separate category from the people he looks up to. Look, he's trying to build some campaign here, but he's one of the worst people on the planet. Is this going to be successful?
Yes. I hope not. I mean, look at that picture. He looks like a villain in a movie who's giving a long explanation of how you're going to die while you get out of handcuffs.
It's so true.
He is a Yeah, he's just a villain. Yeah. Like, he is a movie villain. He even has the looks of it. Like, he could never be a leading man. He could just be the guy, and I don't mean this in real life, but that gets shot at the end and you're happy about it. Or he falls off the building.
Right.
Like, he's just not a, he's just not a good person.
In any movie he started, that would have to happen, right? Like, he'd have to be the villain. Yeah. He'd have to be, everyone would be cheering at the end when something terrible happened to them.
I mean, it wouldn't be like an A movie. It would be kind of like a Steven Seagal and he's the bad guy. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Yeah. He's definitely a bad guy in a movie. But I don't think, I think he messed up California so bad. I was just there all last week doing shows. I think people are really starting to wake up, at least against him, to realize that he does not have their best interest. Because I went through Malibu. Dude, it looks like a bomb went off. Mm. It is something that you can't even wrap your head around, because you go, there's water right there. There's water right there. And this entire place burnt down. And part of their excuse was, well, the salt in the water could ruin things. You're like, the things that are on fire.
Like, oh, my God.
What?
It's how is
so,
that
like,
possible?
When you, it's crazy. It doesn't exist. There's only like a few houses left. I'm telling you, it looks like not even a modern film. It looks like a World War II movie, like just completely decimated. And it's extremely sad. And I think when people saw how that was handled, I just don't think this guy can get any farther. And if he does, I mean, wake up.
Yeah, it's actually horrible. I mean, did you how what was the scope of it? I mean, because obviously we get the idea that it's the Palisades. Like, I don't know what that means. I'm from the East Coast. I don't have any sense as to the scale of it. Did it feel like massive portions wiped out, or was it just more contained communities? What did it feel like?
It's Hollywood itself, and going into like the Hermosa Beach area, Manhattan, all that. That seemed fine. But the Malibu, which was a really big area and a really nice place to vacation, I mean, it's gone now. I think there's Chris Pratt's house, which I get it. God's going to save that.
Right. Yeah. But, to be fair, of course.
Yeah. And then, but there's like Chris Pratt's house and nothing else. And then the Palisades are, I mean, I want to say 50% gone, but Malibu is gone. It's just gone. And I've never seen anything like it. And it just breaks down to complete irresponsibility of the people in charge. It's heartbreaking, because it was an area. I first moved to L.A. 22 years ago, and that was one of the nicest places I've ever seen in my life. It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And to see it, I mean, it's decimated by a wildfire in the year 2025. Like, I can't wrap my head around that.
Yeah. And I guess really the only way to solve it would be a podcast.
I think a podcast where you go through the questions early, yeah, and make sure to filter out all the ones about how you didn't handle that correctly.
Exactly. Can you hold on, Dave? Do you have a couple more minutes?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm going to come back with more with Dave Landau here in just a couple moments. Back in a second.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, Frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Cespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Very strange and sad story, Dave, from New Mexico overnight, where Gene Hackman, the actor, and his wife, and along with one of their dogs, were found dead altogether. Deputies were called yesterday afternoon to try to do a wellness check, and came in and discovered the bodies. And when you think about, look, I mean, I'm not exactly stunned a 95-year-old Gene Hackman would die, so that one wasn't stunning to me. However, when they're both dead and the dog is dead, you start thinking, what the hell went on there? My first thought was maybe like carbon monoxide or something like that. But I don't even know if that's right, because it seems like there were other dogs in the house that lived. So do you have any concept as to what happened here?
I have no idea, and I'm very interested in seeing what happens. I assume the same as you, that it was a carbon monoxide leak. The only other thing I can think of is maybe she passed away and she was his caregiver, and perhaps that's, you know, one of the dogs wasn't fat. I don't know. I'm hoping that it's not something that's nefarious, but it is a very, very bizarre story. And I mean, 95 is a really, really great age to live to, especially when you're a screen legend. But her in her early 60s and the dog, like, there's I really, really pray there's nothing nefarious here, but we're going to find out.
Yeah, there's some speculation and like some sort of suicide thing may have happened. You hate to think about that stuff. I will say, you know, let's just say it was carbon monoxide for the moment. It is a it's a terrible thing to be the person who dies with the celebrity. Like, I kept hearing everyone was like, oh, my gosh, it's so sad that Gene Hackman died, which, of course, it is. Like, but, you know, the guy's 95. She was in her 60s and she died. No one even seems to care for a moment about her.
No, Gene Hackman, I mean, he retired from acting 10 years ago because he was just honest with himself and said, look, I can't remember lines and do this anymore. You know, it's what our last president should have done.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does suck for the person who he's with because, yeah, she was young. I mean, you know, relatively young. And I that's why this story bothers me so much, is that and the dog, her and the dog are really the ultimate tragedy here.
Yeah, because, I mean, people care about the celebrity and they care about the dog. And then the poor woman in the middle, they're like, oh, who? What else happened? They don't even seem to care. It's sort of sad. I will say, Gene Hackman, what an amazing career, though. This guy was in incredible movies through, what, 4 decades at least?
Oh, easily. I mean, you're talking 70s, 80s, 90s, 60s, 2000s, 10s. You know, like he had a Paul Newman, Steve McQueen sort of Sidney Poitier effect on America. And I mean, if you look at my favorite movies are like The Royal Tenenbaums, The Conversation, Superman, The French Connection, Unforgiven, The Quick and the Dead that Sam Raimi did, who's a director from Detroit. Like, he's a guy who just knew how to pick a script. And even like The Replacements is a fun movie. And he's just a guy who, if he was in a movie, I would watch it. And The Royal Tenenbaums is the hardest I may have. And some people hate that movie, but him pretending to be dying of cancer while just eating cheeseburgers and being the most awful person to everybody. Like, when he finds out about Ben Stiller's wife dying, he just goes, oh, I'm sorry to hear about that. She was a terribly attractive woman. Just like the little terrible lines that he would have towards people. It was just beautiful. And he executed everything he did so perfectly. And the role of Popeye Doyle in The French Connection, one of the first movies about heroin smugglers. It's such a great film.
Royal Tenenbaums is basically a perfect movie to me. I think it is literally one of my favorite movies of all time, and he's perfect in it, but I mean, everybody's perfect in it. That is such an unbelievable movie. We didn't even mention Hoosiers, which is obviously an all-time classic. I mean, the career was incredible.
Yeah, every single thing that he's done, I've always enjoyed. And yeah, I'm with you. Hoosiers was another one. And yeah, Tenenbaums is just one of those movies that is endlessly quotable and so many people's best film. And I think it's good that he retired. I think it's good when people go out on top. It's sad how he passed, but I mean, the legacy that he's gonna have, I mean, he's had an effect on entertaining so many people for the last half a century. And I mean, that's something that's just an absolute blessing.
Well, with the Epstein thing maybe going away, we're going to need a new conspiracy theory. And I will not be surprised to see that we have about 50 of them on whatever happened here at this house. I guess we'll find out soon.
Well, that was my sadly first thought, was did they kill him to kind of distract from the news? And I know that's terrible to say, but these days, where else is my head supposed to go? Everything that I think is fake is real. And then half the things I think is real turn out to be fake. So, I mean, people are monsters. I think we know too much.
Yeah, I think, that's right. I think we just need to just unplug everything and stop learning, because that's probably, at this point, it's only hurting us, I think. Dave Landau, be sure
like
to catch
that.
Him. It's a little bit of an overall life theory, Dave.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. interrupt you. I was just saying that I think stop learning is a great motto and you should run on it.
That's it. That's me. I 2028. Get ready for the donations. Dave Landau. Be sure to catch him on Normal World right here on Blaze TV, of course. But also, if you're in Vegas tonight, there's nothing better that you can do than go to Dave's show at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club. Well, there are probably two or three things better, but you probably can't achieve them. So go to MGM Grand, Brad Garrett's Comedy Club. Go see Dave. He's also going to be back here in Dallas April 4th and 5th. Catch him there as well. Tickets available at DaveLandau.com. DaveLandau.com. Dave, thanks so much, man. Good luck tonight.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, Stu.
Andrew Cuomo is awful.com. Mm-hmm. Still available. Selling thousands of Andrew Cuomo is awful mugs. There are going to be more now because he's running. He's totally going to run for mayor. That's happening. It's not officially announced, but that's totally happening. Now they're trying to go even beyond that. Andrew Cuomo seen as possible White House candidate by some Democrats. And in case you're wondering who the Democrats are, it's Andrew Cuomo and Chris Cuomo. I mean, no one else could possibly think that's a good idea, right? I mean, he's going to totally become mayor, though. That's really going to happen. It is the most despicable, disgusting thing. How many old people do you need to murder to disqualify yourself from being mayor of New York? Although, if you look back at the history going back a while, maybe the murdering actually makes you a better candidate for mayor of New York. We'll look into that, I guess. By the way, subscribe, blazetv.com/Stu. The promo code is Stu. You can save $20 off your subscription to Blaze TV. Thanks so much for joining us.